Hi, I'm Shara, and welcome to the Health Me, Health You podcast, where you will be inspired as you hear stories all about health, physical, mental, social, and spiritual. You will be energized from people from all walks of life, just like you and me, because we believe everyone has an encouraging story to share. So let's have some fun, learn from each other, and together, get healthier. Welcome back to episode 2, part 2 of Brian's story. We're so glad you're with us and learning more about his health and his health journey. So Brian, welcome back.
Thank you. It is great to be here.
So we last left off in your story back in 2017, and it was about 8 months into your story, and you had last seen a neurologist, and he gave you the treatment plan of walk 30 minutes a day and we'll see you in 6 months.
Yep.
And then you saw a nutritionist, and what happened after that?
Well, nothing much with the nutritionist, but I do remember, I don't have a definitive time that I can look back and say, this is why I made the change. I can't honestly remember. Like I had when I watched that video with the person who cured themselves from MS by going vegan and plant-based. Mm-hmm. But I was watching some stuff about gluten and gluten-free, and it just seems like nowadays, like gluten is the boogeyman. You know, 10, 15 years ago, you never heard about gluten. There was no like, oh, can I have the gluten-free menu or this and that?
No.
You know, it's just, it seems like a different world now. So I thought to myself, you know, this gluten thing, it seems like so many people have problems with it. We knew of a friend that had constant migraines. She went gluten-free, migraines are gone. Mm-hmm. Another person, they went gluten-free and they lost a ton of weight. And, you know, I'd heard other things that people going gluten-free and it did such certain things for them, changed their life for the better. So mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I'm at this point, I'm still grasping for straws. I'm still clinging on to hope. And I'm not seeing I'm not seeing this thing reverse. So I thought, what the heck? I'll give it a shot. I'll go gluten-free too.
Yeah.
And that was the hardest thing for sure, because as a kid, I was the carb king. I ate cereal like it was going out of style. My poor parents, I remember she would buy like 6 boxes of cereal, and between me and my brother, those things would be gone in a matter of 2 days. I mean, it was bad. And,
yeah.
You know, toast and pasta, and I just love breads.
So that was hard to give up.
Oh, it was super hard. Plus, I owned a deli, and we made our own bread from scratch. So I went from going vegan, so okay, I can't have my delicious turkey avocado sandwich. Now I'm eating a veggie delight all the time, which was still good. Mm-hmm. But then now I'm having to not eat anything dairy. I can't even have croutons on my salads. So,
you're totally transitioning, going back to that rabbit-like state of you're really eating fruits and veggies. And
yes, and at the time you guys were not gluten-free, so you guys were still eating... you did such an amazing job to try to accommodate me, but you know, it's also very hard being around the kids and them eating mac and cheese and, it's tough. But one of the first benefits that I noticed right away with going gluten-free is within a matter of days, I noticed this brain fog was gone, and it was crazy. I had this clarity of mind. It's hard to look back on what that felt like because it's been so long. This now feels normal.
Right.
But I do remember I remember driving to work one day and I just felt this like brain fog. I'm just like, I don't have this. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but the clarity of mind was there. And as far as starting to feel better, I want to say it took a couple of weeks. I can't really remember the exact time, but let's say a week to a week or two. Which is relatively pretty quick.
Yeah,
I noticed that balloon sensation, that intense pressure in my foot, which was very irritable. It slowly started gradually going down and down and down, and it was subsiding.
The other thing that I really remember too, Brian, is you talked about the elasticity
in
your muscles.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. Totally forgot about that. I want to say within a matter of days, 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to explain just talking about it, but I guess... Imagine bending down when you're trying to talk to your kids or play with your kids and you kneel down on your knees or you bend way, way down. And I would have this pressure in my knees. Didn't even know that it was there until it was gone. And then I felt, wow, I just feel way more flexible. It was almost like this inflammation was coming out of my joints. And I was like, wow, this feels amazing. Now it's hard to imagine what it was like in the past because I'm so used to having not be there.
Right.
And now it's hard to imagine that being there because I'm so used to it not being there.
Yeah. Right. You've gotten used to it.
Right. It's great.
And you'd rather probably give up the gluten and the meat and the dairy for the feelings that you have right now.
Oh, okay. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes. So when I finally went gluten-free and then that intense irritable feeling went away, I had the thought of if I could live like this right now, the way I'm feeling right now for the rest of my life, I would be totally happy because that irritability was gone and the tingling numbness sensation was still there and it's still there today, but it's not annoying. It's a little annoying, but not super irritable.
That's amazing.
Oh, it's incredible. And so that alone is one of the biggest reasons why we want to do this podcast is because if someone else was going through what I was going through and through me sharing my story and, you know, the recommendation of going gluten-free and vegan, if they can have the same benefits that I've had, oh my gosh, it's worth it. And I want people to give it a shot because it is not fun living the other way.
Right. Yeah, it's not at all. So hopefully there's someone listening out there that can take this and make that lifestyle change. Now, I know we talked about in the previous episode that you devoted a lot of time and energy into just pouring yourself into online research and really grasping for anything that would give you more health and that would promote a healthier way of living and feeling better. And it's interesting that back then, 4 years ago, there was really nothing out there that talked about research and the connection between plant-based and gluten-free. You just kind of stumbled upon this yourself.
Yep. And I just lucked out in a way. But there's an article that I found just recently. It was in January of 2020. And there's this study and there was 215 patients with neuropathy. And 140 of those have idiopathic neuropathy. And what that means is idiopathic means you have it and we don't really know why. So of those 140 idiopathic neuropathy patients, they were all tested for antibodies to gluten. And I want to say there was 47 people. Yeah, 47 people, which comes out to 34%. So 34% of that 140 people, they were tested with high antibodies to gluten.
Wow.
Whereas the normal population, a controlled subset, they have they test positive for gluten antibodies around 10%, maybe I think 10, 11%. So here are these idiopathic patients, neuropathy patients, 34% versus the normal population, 10, 11%. So it's three times more prevalent for a person with neuropathy to have a gluten sensitivity. Wow. And then there's other articles that I've read about people who have a celiac and how often, I believe it was like 10% of celiac people who diagnosed with celiac, they eventually come down with symptoms of peripheral neuropathy. So you got to ask yourself, what the heck? What's going on? There's a massive gluten sensitivity with celiac patients.
Right.
And then me, you know, I can eat gluten as much as I want and my stomach feels fine. Everything feels fine. Except for, and all of a sudden about anywhere from 2 hours to a day later, and then boom, that feeling is back in my feet again. So as I'm reading this study, I'm just like, I am one of those people.
Yeah.
You know, I have idiopathic neuropathy. I don't know why, but it's there. And when I eat gluten, it flares up.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. And then, you know, obviously doing research up to doing this podcast, I was just Googling some stuff because I'm not doing as much research as I was way back then. And I just see so many more articles that have just come out that is talking about gluten and just like if you have peripheral neuropathy, I mean, just give it a shot. What do you have to lose? You've got nothing to lose. Okay, so you don't eat bread. It's not like you're going to die from a gluten deficiency. I mean, give me a break. You know, like give it a shot. If it's going to make you feel better, try it.
Yeah, try it and see what happens.
Yeah.
So knowing that you have this experiment that you really did on yourself. You tried it instantly, almost. You felt better. Have you been very strict with gluten ever since beginning of 2017, 3 years? The last 3 years, have you been very strict with gluten?
Okay, so mostly, except for the times that I fell off the wagon. Okay, so this was before we went vegan and gluten-free as a family. Fast forward, so that was like February I made that change, 2017. Now, Thanksgiving, we're back at your parents' house again, and everyone's making all this delicious food. And granted, I'm feeling better now.
We must just make some awesome food because it seems like you're always tempted when you go to my parents' house.
It's bad. They make so much of it. And obviously the one meal is great, but they make so much of it because they want leftovers for like, 5 days. So you're eating like the same foods for 5 days, which is amazing. And then here I am, eating a salad.
Yeah.
So life is not good.
And it's usually food that we only make once a year.
Exactly.
So you got to enjoy it.
Right. Yeah, got to take advantage. So here I am and now I'm feeling better and I've almost by now become accustomed to feeling good again, to mm-hmm. where I'm not irritable again, but it's still there, the numbness, the tingling. And so it's not getting better drastically. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing the reversal of it. It's just that the super annoying sensation's gone, mm-hmm. but it's not reversing. And so in my mind at the time, I remember thinking that this is not getting better. I'm not reversing it, screw it. I'm so sick of, going on this diet, because anytime you go somewhere, you go to a party, you go anywhere, and there's always gluten there. There's always this. And I can't eat more than half the things that are there. And I love eating mm-hmm. like most people.
Right.
And so then having to abstain from some of these awesome stuff, it's like, ugh. So then at the time I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm not getting better. I'm just going to go back to my old diet. So then I did. The whole time we were there. And then how long did I go just back to normal again?
It was about 2 months. I want to say it was January.
It was past Christmas.
Yeah, it was past Christmas because both holidays, you enjoyed your holidays.
Yeah.
And then it was after that, you really started to look for some other diets because you just wanted to see what else was out there because you started feeling bad again.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, I started feeling bad again. And then I remember saying to you, I'm like, nope, I'm going back to the way I was. And so then I went back to being gluten-free and vegan again. And then that annoying sensation in my feet, irritability, it started going away again. And then I want to say a month and a half later, I was starting to do more grasping at straws again and having that doubt of I'm not getting better, it's not reversing, and maybe I'll try something else.
Yeah, because I think the thing is what you really struggled with was I feel good when I'm on the diet, but it's so hard to give up. It's so hard to live your normal life.
Yes.
Eating this way. It's very hard.
It's super hard.
So how can you find a quick fix? That's what we all love. Yep. Us humans, we love these quick fixes. So I don't want to make a lifestyle change. It's hard.
It's very hard. And it's especially hard when you're doing it by yourself. Mm-hmm. And even though you never were tempting of me, you still made me like separate things here and there, but just having it in the house, anytime you go around other people, like let's say you go to a party and you know that all this stuff is going to be there. What I do now, even now, is I'll try to eat something well ahead of going to the party. So that way when I get there, I'm not hungry and then I won't be as tempted as much. Now, granted for me, I've had enough negative experiences now with gluten so that now I'm like, nah. I'm going to stay away from that and we'll get into that in a little bit.
But your negative stories.
Yeah, my cheating stories, which is, yeah.
So you started looking at some other diets. What were some of the other things you started looking at?
So by this point, I believe I had pinpointed that it was gluten.
Right.
For sure. And then so, it seems like keto was a big kick going on as well. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try to go keto and gluten-free. Mm-hmm. And then I told you that I was like, I think I'm going to do that. And then that's whenever you made the decision. You're like, no, you're not doing that because you knew that I knew that I just did not feel that this was the healthy way to live. I mean, I know that a lot of people would completely disagree with this but just try to listen to this with an open mind. If you do, there's not enough vitamins and minerals in meat to sustain you for a long period of time. I mean, just the way that meat is consumed. Picture an entire society, and that's all they ate was a keto diet, high fat, high meat. It's totally unsustainable from a planetary perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But what is sustainable is growing plants.
Right.
So just that alone should tell you that like humans are probably not meant to eat meat. Just that's it. I'm sure, you know, a couple people here and there, no big deal. But like globally or as a nation, like imagine everyone doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally unsustainable. Where the other flip side, if everyone was vegetarian, plant-based, it's 100% sustainable.
Right.
You know, so anyways, so those kind of logical things were going in my mind. I'm like, you know, this is, I knew in my heart that deep down I felt like veganism and plant-based was the healthy way to go.
And I think, too, I'd like to say that there's a couple things that we've watched that have really been eye-opening for us and other people that we've told about. Is there's two movies on Netflix that are excellent that talk about a plant-based lifestyle. And the most recent one is called Game Changers, and it's about plant-based athletes. And actually, the world's strongest man is plant-based, which is crazy. Yep. So the protein that you need to build muscle, you can get from plants.
Yep. And one of the things they say in the movie, they say, a gorilla eats nothing but leaves. And look how strong a gorilla is.
Oh, yeah.
That's just right. One example. But obviously, an animal is different than a human. But like you said, the world's strongest man is
plant-based.
There you go.
And then the second movie that I would recommend is What the Health. And that one is a couple years old, but they're both really good at explaining some research behind it and newer research. And so I would definitely check both of those movies out.
Yeah. So I was planning on going keto, gluten-free, and then you're like, nope, I know you feel better on this diet. And so we are going gluten-free as a family. And you also had the thought of, because it's been on your mind so much, that, you know what, if our kids are going to get it, and if gluten makes you feel better, then what am I feeding my kids?
Yeah, I think that was a big burden on my heart, because you look at your dad and that it was genetic, and you have it. And now we look at our children and we're not going to get them tested. And so we don't know if they have this genetic mutation or not.
Well, but if they do, we will get them tested maybe eventually, but like at this point, whatever, it's not important.
Yeah.
They can do it later.
They can do it if they decide to, but right now we're not going to do it. And so if there's anything that we can do as their parents that's within our power to make sure that they are the healthiest they can possibly be, knowing that that's something that could come on later in life, and knowing how much gluten you ate as a kid and throughout your life, and that it was onset 20 years earlier than your dad,
yep.
My goodness, we are going to do anything in our power to make sure our kids can offset this a little bit.
Yep.
So for me,
the words right out of my mouth. That's what I was going to say, because I was the carb king. So
yeah.
did that create an early onset? I don't know. Who knows?
Right. So I think it was really, really hard though for us to make that lifestyle change as a family, because especially for our oldest, our son, he loves carbs. He loves anything with crackers. People would buy him crackers for his birthday.
He was the nickname I gave him was Cracker Guy.
Cracker Guy. He loved crackers. So it was a really hard shift for him. And at the time he was 6 years old. So he already had some eating habits established. And we had a lot of parenting struggles, a lot of tears, because it didn't hurt his belly. Still doesn't. If he eats gluten, it doesn't hurt. But we just know that there's long-term impacts that could possibly be there.
Right.
So as parents, you do what you think is the best for your children. And for us, even though it's been extremely difficult, in our heart of hearts, we believe we're doing the absolute best thing for our kids to let them be healthier and have a long, active lifestyle.
Yep, totally agree. So whenever you made the decision to switch our whole lifestyle as a family, going vegan and gluten-free, I can just tell you as your husband, oh my gosh, that is so huge. And so to everyone out there, let's say you have a husband or wife, and let's say the husband struggles with eating and he is overweight, and the wife can, you know, she's got great metabolism, she's got decent eating habits, and she's very thin, but one person struggles. And then the husband goes on these diets, these fad diets, and he's doing it by himself. I'll tell you what, the biggest thing that you can do to support that person is to just go all in with them and make it not just a diet, because a diet is temporary. Right. You have to say to yourself, this is a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
Because that's going to make the biggest change. And then didn't you say to me the other day that previous research, they said that it takes 21 days to make a habit, but now they're figuring out that it takes 66 days to create a new habit. So it's even harder now, you know, scientifically with this whole habit research that they've done, it's harder now to implement new habits and eating habits.
Yeah. We've done intermittent fasting and I was just going to do it for 1 month. And then I had heard this podcast that talked about it takes 66 days to form a habit. And I had been saying, oh, I'm in this habit now of intermittent fasting. Nope, not yet. I have to go 66 days, which, by the way, we've already passed. So that's awesome. I guess we're in this intermittent fasting for the long haul. We will do an episode about that in the future. But yes, you have to make that lifestyle change if you really want to see changes in your life. It can't be something that's just for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Yeah. So I want to say to you, Shara, thank you so much for doing that because it has made an absolute world of difference in my life.
Thanks, babe.
Yeah.
It's not hard when you have someone you love and you see them suffering and you know that you can do something to help them. So I'm very happy that we could support you and make you feel healthier and help you in this journey.
I should flip the tables here. I'm going to interview you. Shara, do you feel different by going gluten-free? So by the way, Shara's done this in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Shara's got great willpower too. She's gone. What was the one time you went no sugar?
7 months no sugar. And it was no sugar, anything with the first five ingredients of sugar of any kind.
Yeah, so that includes no peanut butter.
Yeah, no peanut butter.
It's pretty strict. No ketchup.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did that when I was in my early 20s and it was hard for the first couple months and then you got used to it.
First couple months.
Yeah.
How long is a couple months? 66 days.
Oh yeah. There you go. Hey, ding, ding.
So, okay. Whenever you went gluten-free in the past, what did you feel? Do you remember?
You don't feel this heavy, almost like a ball in your stomach. You don't really get full.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up again.
Yeah.
I can speak to that.
Yeah, you don't really feel full in that heavy, oh my goodness, I ate too much feeling. And I would go gluten-free here and there for like a month or a few weeks. And people would always be like, oh, what? Why are you going gluten-free? You know, I would get a lot of slack from it. And that's okay. I don't care. I felt really good doing it. And I always like trying new things and seeing if it makes me feel better, seeing if it helps my health. And so going gluten-free and vegan, it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be because I think I had that purpose for my kids and for you. But at the same time, it wasn't easy. I thought cheese was going to be the hardest thing for me to give up. And I'm Christian, faith-based, and I prayed about it a lot. And I think I got that strength to not even have a desire for cheese.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I used to love cheese.
Oh, I love cheese. And now there's so many options out there. It's so much easier now to be vegan than it used to be. There's so many options of awesome cheese and ice cream.
Amen to that. It's so much easier than it would have been 15 years ago.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Yeah. And I've been vegetarian my whole life. So I didn't have to give up any meat or anything, which I think was probably a huge blessing. And same for our kids. We were raising our kids vegetarian. So they didn't have to give up the meat like you did. But it still was difficult. But at the same time, I feel so much better being vegan and gluten-free for the last 2 years. I feel great.
Yeah, that's another thing that you just kind of forget about. But I remember eating gluten and having that heavy feeling in my stomach. And then it got to the point where I would keep eating until I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a habit. And it was really, really bad. Which was fine for me because I have high metabolism and I don't really gain weight and I could eat whatever I want, whenever I want, as much as I want. Although I think it's starting to change. I'm getting older. Yeah. I think my metabolism is finally starting to wane. But
it's because you're closer to 40 than you are to 30.
I know, exactly. So anyways, transitioning to gluten-free, I remember that heavy feeling in my stomach. I didn't have that whenever I ate. And I was almost like I was missing it in the beginning. Now I'm used to it.
Yeah.
It's like I don't need that full, heavy feeling.
Yeah.
And that's what gluten did for me. 100%.
So going back to 2018, as a family, we switched over and
2017.
Nope. It was February of 2018.
Oh, 18. You're right.
February of 2018. And in the last 2 years, have you cheated? I know you said it made it easier for us to do it as a family, but I know there's been a couple times.
Yeah. Okay. So this was actually pretty recently. I want to say September, October last year, we went to some conference, and after the conference, they had box lunches for everybody. 2,000 box lunches. I don't remember everything in them, but what I do remember is that they had sandwiches in them.
And part of the sandwiches, I do remember this, it was vegetarian meat, which is all gluten.
Yep. So you got the bread, gluten, the meat, the veggie meat, gluten. And I remember, and I was hungry at the time, and I was like, you know what, forget this. I'm just going to eat it. I'm going to feel fine. Mm-hmm. So I ate my sandwich, and we're there with the kids, and then I ate half of the kid's sandwich. So a sandwich and a half. And then about 2 hours later, I was in the car driving. What did I say, Shara?
Remind me never to eat gluten again. I feel terrible. My feet are bugging the heck out of me.
Yep. And I had, it's like all that same feeling that I had over a year ago was back. Mm-hmm. And that same feeling where I'm like stomping on the ground again, you know, it's awful. And so that was September, October, whenever it was. And oh, how quickly we forget.
Oh, yes.
How dumb we are as humans. We keep falling back into our same old patterns and making these same stupid decisions over and over again. It's because about 2 months later, after that, after me saying, remind me never to eat gluten again, I was trying to sell a piece of machinery to from my deli to a pizza shop. And so I left his pizza shop, and he's like, hey, let me make you a pizza. And I'm like, no, it's okay. He's like, no, I want to. I really want to. And I said, oh, do you have any gluten-free pizza? He said, no. I'm like, oh, all right, make me a pizza. So I had the pizza, and then I had about an hour drive ahead of me. So I was like, oh, I'll eat the pizza on my drive. So I ate over half of a large pizza.
Brian can put down some pizza.
Yes, I can. Like I said,
and you don't gain a pound.
I can eat. So I ate, and then about 2-3 hours later, I got to you, and I remember saying to you, oh my gosh, my feet feel horrendous. Mm-hmm. I remember the feeling my feet had. I was like, this has been the worst my feet have felt since 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
It was bad.
And once again, you said to me, remind me never to eat gluten again. My feet feel terrible.
Yes. They felt even worse than when I had that sandwich and a half. And I said, I'm like, I have to go exercise. I feel like I have to run this off. I need some circulation in my feet because it was horrendous. So I went to Orange Theory, and I just need to run on this treadmill and just do something to break up the balloon feeling again.
So that circulation right there that you just said, does it help to exercise?
Definitely. With neuropathy? Yes. Mm-hmm. So some of the things that I've noticed that aggravate it for me is when I don't exercise and when I sit too long. So I guess both are similar, because by sitting too long, it affects the circulation in my feet. Mm-hmm. And by exercising, I do get circulation and I feel better. Not only do you feel better mentally, that's kind of we all kind of realize that when you exercise, we feel better mentally. But for me and my feet feel so much better when I exercise. And here's another way that you've been super supportive of me is anytime I'll want to do something active, I'll say, I really need to go to the gym. You're like, go right now. Yeah. And so you've never told me like, oh, you know, I need help with this. I needed a, whatever this is going on. You're like, nope, go for it. Do it. Go for it. And even other times, if I've come home from a long day and I haven't really done anything, and you know that I haven't done anything active, you'll be like, Brian, you need to go to the gym. You need to go to Orange Theory. Sign up for a class. And I'm like, ugh. You know those times where you just really don't want to exercise?
Yeah.
And you're like, go. You know if you go, you're going to feel better. Just do it. Mm-hmm. And you make me go. And I'm like, okay, I'll go.
It's nice to have somebody that can be your cheerleader and can encourage you, because there's a lot of days where I don't feel like going to work out either, but I have someone that motivates me and pushes me too, and it's nice to have a buddy.
Definitely. And how many times have we all felt that way? Like, oh, I don't want to exercise. I don't want to go for that run. I don't want to lift weights. You don't want to. And then afterwards, you ask yourself, do you feel better now? Are you glad you did that? most of the time, I'd say like 99.9%, you say yes, unless you got hurt, then it's, then you're obviously going to regret it.
Yeah.
But most of the time you always feel good afterwards.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go back to your story a little bit. So you went gluten-free, we went gluten-free as a family, and fast forward, we said we want to get more opinions. We're not satisfied with the first medical opinion, so we sought out to find second and third opinions. Let's go into that a little bit.
So we came across a physician in Loma Linda, California, who had a great reputation as a neurologist, especially around peripheral neuropathy. But there was no way that we were going to be able to get in and see him. But you had a connection with your old job at Florida Hospital. You knew the chief medical officer. So you called him and put some connections together. And we ended up getting an appointment and to go see this neurologist in February of 2018. So the doctor had all of the previous medical records from the neurologist that I had gone and seen the previous February in 2017. And going to see him, it was very similar to the first doctor. He did a bunch of feel tests on me, and he had me do different strength exercises and balancing exercises. Mm-hmm. And then he did the final exam, which basically you stick a needle in your ankle and different parts of your feet and your hands, and then you flex your muscles or do different things. And basically it's measuring the electrical conductivity of your nerves, because that's what your nerves are. It's just one big electrical system in your body. Mm-hmm. And so after that, he had the results from that study, and then he compared it to what it was the previous year in 2017 to that first study. And this, why I say this was a great day, is because of what he said. He said, you know, just by you coming in here and, you know, by looking at you and by looking at you walk and doing your strength tests and your balance tests, you seem totally fine. I would never imagine that you have neuropathy. Mm-hmm. But after doing this test, I can see that you do have neuropathy. However, when I look at the old test versus the new test, I am not looking at the same patient.
Wow.
These are totally different patients. The one last year is significantly worse than the one this year.
Amazing.
Amazing. I mean, I was like, talk about a new sense of hope. It was like, yes.
Yeah.
And it was
because of the walking 30 minutes a day that the previous neurologist told you, right? Isn't correct. That what you did?
Yes. Walk 30 minutes a day. That did all the difference.
Although exercising does help, but yes. It was more the lifestyle change of what you put into your body, the gluten and the dairy.
That's what I believe. I believe it's mainly the gluten, because that's, I was able to figure out later on, because I've tested, you know, which ones make me feel bad and which ones don't. And it's the gluten for sure. Mm-hmm. So what was interesting is both doctors, I remember I started to feel a little bit better whenever I went to the first doctor and I told him what I was doing with my diet. And he says, well, you know, if you think that that's what's, you know, making you feel better, then continue doing that. Mm-hmm. And I told this doctor the same thing of what I was doing with my lifestyle and my diet. And he says, well, whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. Cause clearly by the looking at the two tests, it's working.
Right.
But I found it interesting that they weren't both, you know, pounding the table of like, yeah, don't eat gluten or go plant-based or nutrition. Like, it makes a big difference. And a lot of Western medicine does not focus on diet as much. And yeah, it's so important. And I found it interesting that both did not really, you know, they weren't pounding the table and saying, don't eat gluten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or be plant-based. They were just like, hey, if you think it's going good for you, then keep doing it. So one of the, was what the doctor said to me. He says, well, keep doing what you're doing. He said, I'm not going to say that you're going to get cured from this. He's like, because this disease does not have a cure. Matter of fact, it continually gets worse. Mm-hmm. So him looking at it, he was almost like, well, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. And at which, it's the thing that I've been clinging onto. And even today, yes, I still have the feeling of numbness and tingling in my feet, but I still do believe that I am eventually going to get over this.
Yeah.
Because just in my mind, you know, I've been active my whole life. I've had a pretty healthy life, and I just still feel like this is, something's not right. Mm-hmm. And if I just take out the one thing that's wrong or do the one thing that's right, that I will eventually get over this disease and get cured from it. So that's the hope that I still cling to this day.
That's awesome. So that was in February of 2018. Fast forward, you sought out some other medical treatments. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. The way I found this next treatment was through a friend. I was talking to him, and then he had a friend that was doing cutting edge research and treatment also in Loma Linda, but specifically for peripheral neuropathy patients. Hmm. And I said to myself, I'm going to go there. I'm going to see that person. So I went down there, and that was in June of 2019. Mm-hmm. And so we go there, and I start talking to him about my history and everything. And so before we even start doing one treatment, the one thing he said to me, he says, well, if you want to do one thing that's going to help your peripheral neuropathy the most, you got to go gluten-free and vegan. And I said, bro, I'm already there.
Wow.
And he was shocked when I said, I've already been that way for 2 years. He was like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And I feel way better as a result of it. And what's so funny is that he was saying the same things that I was experiencing. So to have that validation, and I don't know scientifically of why he does, but he was just saying it like definitively, you need to be gluten-free and vegan. He was saying that the same thing that I've experienced, in that he's way more strict on the gluten-free than on the vegan. Hmm. So, you know, a lot of people, they go on a diet and they say, oh yeah, Saturday's my cheat day, mm-hmm. or whatever. Like, in my opinion, I don't think cheat days are a good thing. You just need to just have a lifestyle change that'll like bring, that sets the habit, mm-hmm. right? So for me, I don't have cheat days for gluten, but every now and then, you know, like say I find out that a slice of bread has eggs in it. It's like, okay, I'll eat it very rarely. But for the most part, we're pretty much vegan 100% of the time. Occasionally, I'll cheat with if something has egg in it or something. But gluten, I'm pretty strict with. Mm-hmm. And so he was saying the same thing. He was very strict on gluten.
Yeah.
And he was saying to me that most of his patients aren't able to do that, that I've already gone through the hard part. Because most patients, well over half, do not do what he recommends because it's just too hard. Because, man, changing your diet and lifestyle around diet is so hard.
Yeah.
It's hard for me and it's hard for everybody else. So going through that treatment, it was quite interesting. It was like nothing I was expecting. Mm-hmm. So I have peripheral neuropathy. I don't experience it in my hands, thank goodness. I only experience it in my feet. And he never even touched my feet throughout the whole procedures.
Interesting.
It was so weird. I'm like, what is this? I'm like, this is kind of trippy. This is weird. So before the first treatment, I told him that my right foot was feeling worse than my left. Mm-hmm. Like it had more numbing sensation than my left. And so he said, okay, we'll put more focus on the right. And I can't go into all of it, but I'll just say that he put pressure on all different parts of my body, applied pressure to all different parts of my body, and then almost like touched different pressure points of my body, mm-hmm. to stimulate blood flow. Almost like old Chinese ancient medicine or acupuncture. They do these different things to stimulate energy flows. And what are we doing? And he says, mm-hmm. Oh, we're stimulating a lot of blood flow to your feet. I'm like, okay. And it was so bizarre. And I'm like, at the same time, like, this is super weird, right?
And he's a doctorate in physical therapy, correct?
Yes, correct. And what we're doing just does not seem like your typical physical therapy, like you would think about going to a physical therapist, doing different exercises and stretches and this and that. I'm not doing exercises. I'm not doing stretches. Yeah. I'm like doing pressure points, it feels like.
But you did talk about that your body is like an electrical system.
Exactly.
So this electrical system and putting pressure on different areas kind of seems like maybe it would work.
Yeah. And I'm sure if you research acupuncture and different ancient Chinese medicine of qi and energy flows of your body, you know, if you touch your temple, it affects your liver and some of those weird things, you know. I mean, I believe in some of that stuff for sure. Anyways, after the first treatment, I went to Orange Theory and I went to go work out. And I remember running, and it was like my right foot, which had that more worse sensation than my left. As I was running, it felt like it had just melted away and it was just like dissolved away. I'm like, wow, my right foot feels so much better. And leading up to this, it had been feeling like this for 3 months, mm-hmm. with that same right foot feeling worse than the left. And then all of a sudden my right foot felt better than my left.
Wow.
I'm like, this thing is totally bananas. It was mind blowing, but it was just, and then I did 2 more days of that same treatment. And it was just so validating to know that I'm doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's funny is that even after I have this validation, remember I was talking about my stories of cheating and eating the sandwich and a half and the pizza.
Right.
It's like, how dumb are we as humans, you know? Like,
yeah.
This happened after this, you know, after I finally got the like validation from a doctor, and his first thing he said, not knowing my history, is go gluten-free and vegan. It's just
and
funny.
Then you still fall off the wagon.
Still fall off the wagon.
We dumb. All do it. None of us are perfect.
Yes.
That's why we all need to learn that it's a journey. And we'll stumble and fall. We have to get back up and keep going.
Yep. Get right back on that horse.
So, Brian, since 2019, fast forward to today, how has this chronic disease of neuropathy changed your life? How has it changed your mentality?
I live more now in the moment than I ever did in the past.
Hmm.
And so, not just now I feel like that, but I guess ever since I was diagnosed, I feel like I've been living more in the moment, such as examples are like I bought an e-bike. An mm-hmm. e-bike is very expensive, and I bought a used one and it was still expensive.
An e-bike is an electronic bike, right? So it helps you climb hills.
Yes.
And it's an assistant for...
It's an e-mountain bike and it is such a blast. I can't even...
I thought you were lazy when you first got it, but every time he goes and rides, he comes back with a smile on his face. So I guess... it's a lot of fun. I've tried it. It is fun.
It's an absolute blast.
Yeah.
And then other things, you know, we've just done things that where we live more in the moment, where we spend the money now to have those experiences instead of saving money and like, oh, you know, we probably shouldn't spend money here. Here's a great example. So at the start of the winter, we have season passes for snowboarding, and we were inside of a sports store, and they had $300 heated socks. And I bought $300 heated socks. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
And if anyone knows Brian, they know that he would not spend $300 on heated socks.
No way.
Before.
But I remembered that, you know, the year before when we went snowboarding, my feet were always cold and mm-hmm. super uncomfortable. And, you know, how much longer am I going to be snowboarding? If this disease progresses, which I hope it won't, but if mm-hmm. it does progress, how much longer can I be snowboarding where I have good balance and I'm safe?
Right.
At some point, if it does continue to get worse, like my dad experienced, there's no way I'm going to be snowboarding and not have balance. How
right.
dangerous would that be? So while I can still do it, enjoy it.
Yeah.
And
it probably makes your feet feel, with the $300 heated socks, makes your feet feel like my feet normally do, like a normal person's feet.
Yeah. I can't speak to how you feel, but I can tell you what a difference.
Yeah.
And it makes life so much better.
Yeah.
So yeah, those things, those experiences, it just makes me treasure life. And some of the things that, you know, maybe we would delay on doing, we kind of do it now more in the moment because we don't know what the future will hold. And no one really knows what the future will hold either. I mean, you could die tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do some of those things now, then do some of those things now, as long as you're not, you know, being reckless financially.
Yeah. And we've talked about that. I've often said, even though it's not my disease, I feel like in a lot of ways, it's a blessing in disguise for our family because it's made us healthier by changing our lifestyle and our eating habits. And even though, yes, you have pain and I wouldn't wish that upon anyone, there's been a lot of good that's come out of it. We do those experiences more. We have more family time and there's been a lot of good
mm-hmm.
that's come out of the bad.
Yes. Just like anything, like right now we're recording this episode amidst the COVID-19 outbreak, and they had the economy completely shut down, and we have been impacted tremendously financially because mm-hmm. of this. But, you know, we've this whole time had a positive outlook and said, like, I don't know what's going to happen with this, and mm-hmm. some crazy stuff is happening, but it's going to all turn out good, and it's probably something is coming that's going to be even better for us.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is, but just having that positive mentality is so important, I believe, with everything that's going on in your life, whether it's mm-hmm. mental or financial, with your physical health, whatever it may be, there's always a silver lining. There's always something good to be coming out of your adversity. That's what I've tried to think about as well with this disease.
I couldn't agree more. Mindset is such a powerful thing to have. So Brian, as you look back on your journey and everything you've gone through over the last 4 years, what would you say to somebody out there that has neuropathy or some type of a neurological disease? What would be the top things you would tell them to do?
Go gluten-free, be plant-based, and get some exercise. But number one, go gluten-free. If you don't believe me, just put in Google gluten intolerance and nerve disorders or neuropathy or something. And you'll find that just recently, there's so much more out there than there was just 4 years ago when I was going through my deep dive on all my research. It's crazy. You'll see, read all this stuff and then you'll say to yourself, what have I got to lose? Mm-hmm. Just try it. So yeah. Gluten-free, plant-based, get exercise.
Great. Great advice. You heard it from the man that's been through it all. All right. And then lastly, Brian, what is something you would share with any listener out there, something that you've done in your life that you feel like is perhaps a habit or something you do on a daily basis, something that's kind of a nugget of truth that you've learned throughout your life that you think anyone could apply and it could be beneficial to them?
Well, one thing I think is very beneficial, and I don't do this all the time. I fall off the wagon, but I believe your life is made up of not just, you can look back on those big decisions you make and how it changed the trajectory of your life. I think also your life is probably more made up of all of the small decisions that were the right decisions. Mm-hmm. And you make hundreds of decisions every day. You just don't really think about it. For example, your alarm went off this morning. Did you hit the snooze or did you wake up? One of those is probably more of the right decision to make. Mm-hmm. So every decision that you make, there's probably more of an element of what's the right decision here versus what's the wrong decision. What should I be doing versus I shouldn't be doing this. If you're thirsty, oh, I really want a soda. Oh, I really want it. I want it. I deserve it. Or should you drink water? Mm-hmm. You should probably drink water. Mm-hmm. And there's so many examples throughout the day. And I think if you make some of those smaller decisions, the right ones, you make them the right decision throughout your day, your life is going to be maybe 1% better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after 1 day, 2 days, you're not really going to see a difference. But if you do these things over a long period of time and you look back and you're going to be like, wow, I've really come a long way because of all of the small decisions that I've made that were right.
I love that. That is great advice. Great advice that anyone can apply.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for coming and joining us on this podcast. Brian, thank you for joining us. Thank you for opening up, for sharing your story so that others can learn from it and be inspired from it. I really admire you and love you for sharing your story with us because I know it's not always easy to open up like this and share your story. But I think by you doing this, you're really helping other people to change the way that they maybe live their lives, the way they think. And so thank you for inspiring others.
Yeah, very happy to do it. Hopefully some people get some value out of it.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for joining us for today's episode. But before you go, be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And also, if you got anything out of this episode, it would mean the world to me if you would go on and give us a 5-star rating. It really helps others be able to find this podcast and be inspired and learn. So please go over, give us a 5-star rating. And don't give us a 2 or 3 because nobody really wants to hear a podcast that has low ratings. So just give us a 5-star and make sure you leave us a comment too on what you liked about this episode. Also go over and follow us on Instagram because we're sharing a lot of behind the scenes stuff there about our life. So follow us on Instagram at Help Me Health You. That's the letter U because there really is only one U. And if you have an inspirational or educational health story to share, please send me a message. I would love to connect with you. Remember to subscribe, review, and comment. Thanks again for joining us, and thanks for listening to Help Me Health You. Stay healthy, my friends. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only and not medical advice. Before making changes to your health, consult your healthcare provider.